This morning we're going to be looking at this very beautiful question, what does your baptism mean to you? What does your baptism mean to you? And this is a very relevant question because all of us have been baptized, except the small children who have not yet been baptized. So this is a very good question, a very important question. It's a question that comes from our confession of faith, which is the Heidelberg Catechism. And the question is, what does your baptism mean to you? And so we're going to look at that. The scripture is from the institution of baptism, which is found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, the last verses 16 through 20. Matthew 28, 16 through 20. We know these words of that passage very well, very familiar. It's the Great Commission. And we'll be looking at that together with Lord's Day 26 in the back of our hymnals on page 33. Listen to the word of the Lord as it is found in Matthew 28, starting with 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So far the reading of Matthew 28. Now we look at Lord's Day 26, back of our hymnals, page 33. How does baptism remind you and assure you that Christ's one sacrifice on the cross is for you personally? In this way, Christ instituted this outward washing and with it gave the promise that as surely as water washes away the dirt from the body, so certainly his blood and his spirit wash away my soul's impurity, in other words, all my sins. What does it mean to be washed with Christ's blood and spirit? To be washed with Christ's blood means that God, by grace, has forgiven my sins because of Christ's blood poured out for me in his sacrifice on the cross. To be washed with Christ's spirit means that the Holy Spirit has renewed me and set me apart to be a member of Christ, so that more and more I become dead to sin and increasingly live a holy and blameless life. Where does Christ promise that we are washed with the blood and spirit as surely as we are washed with water of the water of baptism? In the institution of baptism, where he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. This promise is repeated when Scripture calls baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins. So far the reading of the Scriptures and also our confession based on it. Let us come before the Lord and ask for his illumination and guidance in this very important subject. Our Father, we pray that as we look at what our baptism means to us, this baptism is ordained and instituted by Christ himself. And Lord, it is so very important to be baptized, and that this baptism is a sign and a seal of the washing away of our sins through the blood and spirit of Jesus Christ. Lord, bless it unto our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ our Lord, one Saturday the phone rang, and I answered the phone, and it was a lady on the other side who asked me if I would baptize her baby tomorrow, the next day. And I said, and I knew who this lady was. She and her husband and Lori and I got to know each other at the hospital where one of our children was born. And she was in the same room with my wife, and so we got to know them a little bit. We weren't in the hospital all that long, but I walked to the parking lot with her husband at different times. And so they thought it would be really nice if I would baptize their baby. And I found out from previous conversation with her husband that they didn't go to church and that they really had very little religious background of any kind. But they just thought it would be really nice if their baby would be baptized by somebody they knew. And so I said, I would be very happy to baptize your baby, but there are certain things that have to happen first. I said, your child is an infant, and it's appropriate for infants to be baptized, but it's very important for the infant to grow up in a Christian home and to be instructed by godly parents who will instruct this child about Jesus Christ. And how can parents do that if they don't know who Jesus is and who don't know the gospel and who have not had any connection with the church or with the gospel or with the Bible? So I said, yes, I would love to baptize your baby, but I would first have to instruct you and lead you to an understanding of the gospel and hope prayerfully that the Holy Spirit would incline your heart to receive Christ Jesus as your own Savior and then become a member of our church. And then, yes, I would be very happy to baptize your child. So I said, I would be very happy to come to your house and give you instruction. And they said, well, okay, that's fine with us. So we set a date and I came there and we started. And the next week I was there again. And the third week they called me and said, you know, something has come up and we just can't have you this week. I said, well, okay, well, how about next week? Yeah, that's okay. So the next week came and they called again and said, no, something else has come up. And so I said, well, how about next week? I said, oh, okay. And then the next week they said, well, you know what? We've done a lot of thinking about this and we're just not interested. So the child was not baptized. And that's a good thing. Because you see, baptism is not magic. Baptism is not magic. The water of baptism is no different than the water in this glass. The water of baptism is not holy water so that if it comes on a baby's head, it changes that child. No. No, no, no. And that's why in the form for baptism, it says that parents are not to do this out of custom or superstition. Not superstition. Baptism is a holy sacrament. It is a sign and a seal. It is a sign and it's a seal. Two things. Very important two things. All sacraments, and there are two, baptism and the Lord's Supper, both are a sign and both are a seal. Those two things. Very, very important. Sign and seal. And the sign, which is water, must never be separated from the seal. Now, we know what the sign is. That's water. And in the Lord's Supper, the sign is the broken body and the shed and the poured out cup or wine. That's the sign. But the seal of baptism is these words, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. That is the seal. And the seal in the Lord's Supper is, take, eat, remember, and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken and His blood was shed for a complete remission of all your sins. That's the seal. And we can never separate the sign from the seal. And so this young couple that called me, they thought just putting water on the baby, head was, you know, that was nice. That was a nice thing. Well, it is. Provided that the parents who have the responsibility of bringing up this child have committed themselves to Jesus Christ. And that's why in the form for baptism, the parents are first of all addressed. Do you believe the doctrine contained in the Old and the New Testament and in the articles of the Christian faith and taught in this Christian church to be the true and complete doctrine of salvation? Do you believe that? Before they can have their child baptized, they have to affirm their faith. And do you also believe that your child, though conceived and born in sin, is sanctified in Christ and as a member of His church ought to be baptized? Do you believe that? And then and when your child comes to years of understanding, do you promise to instruct this child as he comes to years of understanding in the truth of the Word of God and cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power? What is your answer? You know those questions very well. But you see, all of that takes place before the baptism is administered. So yes, I said to this girl, this young mother, I said, sure, I'd be happy to baptize your baby, but there's a lot of things that have to happen beforehand. So let's look at this. What does your baptism mean to you? I am quite sure that you're just like me. I do not remember my baptism. I don't remember it. I was an infant. I was carried by my mother and my father into the church. I have no recollection of that whatsoever. I don't know how old I was. Probably a couple months. I don't know. But I was taught by my parents just like you were. And when your children saw a baby baptized in the church, you probably said to them on the way home, now do you know that this happened to you? And do you know what this means? And so you did that. And as your children grow, you cause them to be instructed in all these things. There's tremendous responsibility here. Awesome responsibility. We are living in a very difficult time right now. There was an article in the paper, The New Normal. The New Normal. You know what it says? The New Normal. Single parents. That's the new normal. 40% of Michigan babies in 2009, 40% were born to single parents. That's becoming the new normal. This is a very alarming statistic. Because what are some of the results of single parenting? Well, I am thankful that those single parents didn't abort I'm thankful that they carried the baby to term and had it born and received a new baby. And that's good and that's wonderful and we applaud that. But there are social, economic, spiritual implications of a single parent. The statistics about single parenting indicate that there's a far greater chance of those children being raised in poverty, being raised in situations in which there is not a father at home, no father to guide them, no father to support the mother, no parent, no complete intact family to guide that child. These are tremendously important issues. And we're living in that kind of society today. Now, those are statistics for Michigan, in which there's a lot of churches. Michigan, of all the states in the Union, is a very religious state. And yet, this is the statistic, and it's alarming. So let's look at baptism. It involves the family. It absolutely involves the family. That's why I had to say to that young mom, I cannot do this until certain things take place. So let's look at the event of baptism. The two things. First, sign and seal. What's the sign? Well, the sign is water. Jesus chose this sign. And he didn't choose any other liquid. Because there is no other liquid that you can put on a plant to make it grow well than water. You can have a little additive to that water, like some kind of grow stuff or fertilizer. But it's water that makes plants grow. And water that helps you. You can live longer without food than without water. Water is absolutely essential for your life. And water is a cleansing agent. You wash your face, you wash your body with water. It's not a shower of some other liquid. It's a shower of water. So Jesus chose this very, very simple element called water, H2O, as a sign of baptism. Water is an amazing thing. Water, by the way, is a miracle in itself. It's providence. There are two of hydrogen and one of oxygen. And those nuclei of those three are in a certain order. H-H-O. And the angle between the nuclei of the hydrogen, the two hydrogen, to the nucleus of the oxygen, that angle is the same in every single molecule of water. And that angle is 105 degrees. And that angle is the angle of a perfect prism. So that when light shines through that droplet of water, that light refracts into a rainbow. Every time, every molecule of water is constructed the same way. It's a miracle of God's creative genius. And this is what is used to clean us, wash dishes, wash the car, wash clothes, etc., etc. Jesus uses this as a sign of the washing of His blood. Just as surely as that water washes our bodies from dirt, the blood of Jesus washes us from our sin. That's the sign. It's a marvelous sign. It's a plentiful sign. And you want your child to receive that baptism sign as soon as possible. There was a time set by God to Abraham when circumcision was to be administered to the little boy babies in the Old Testament. There was a time, and that was 8 days. And do you know what the American Red Cross has found out? That at the 8th day, there is the largest concentration of vitamin K in the human body. What does vitamin K do? It assists in coagulation of the blood. So the 8th day, according to the American Red Cross, the 8th day is the largest concentration of vitamin K in any human being. So God said, the 8th day, do it. Get that child signed as soon as possible. Okay, that's the sign. Now, what's the seal? The seal is from God Almighty. Jesus said, baptizing them in the name, and notice that's singular. It doesn't say in the names, plural. No, no, no. You know why that it is singular? In the name, singular, of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Because of the truth of the Holy Trinity. How many gods are there? Three? No, no. One God. One God. That's why that word name is in the singular. Baptizing them in the name. Because there's one name, and that's the name of Almighty God, who has revealed Himself as three persons. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's the seal. Now we operate with seals too. You get a driver's license, and the driver's license has a seal of the state of Michigan on it. And that seal of the state of Michigan, there it is on your, they can see it. It's authentic. It's the real thing. When you graduate from college or from high school, you have a seal of the school upon that document. There are seals on all important documents. That's a seal. That's a guarantee that it's the real thing. It's not an imitation. It's not a substitute. It's the real thing. And that is what the seal means. I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, we operate with signs and seals every day. You get a check in the mail. Maybe it's a check from your employer. Maybe it's a check from someone who is renting from you. Maybe it's a check of a client of yours or a patient of yours. Anyway, we operate with checks all the time. Maybe, boys and girls, you babysit and you get a check from the family you babysit for. Let's say you get a check for $25. And there that check will say, pay to the order of your name. And then it's from a bank. And then there's $25 in number, and then it's written out in words. And then it's signed by the person who gives it. Okay, now that is a sign that there's money in the bank for you. So it's a sign. But it's also a seal, because it's got the name of a bank, and it's got the signature of a person. It's got a date. It's got your name. That's the guarantee. That's the seal. And you got to go cash it. And when you go to the bank and cash it, you have to sign your name on the back part of on the reverse side of the check. You sign your name, and you go to the teller of the bank and you say, "I am this person. This is written to me, and I'm here to claim what is promised to me." That's cashing the check. Now, all of that is applicable to baptism. When a child is baptized, that child receives a check. A check from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father signs it. So does God the Son, and so does God the Holy Spirit. And God the Father, the Creator of the heavens and of the earth, who is sovereign over everything, who plans everything, who knows us inside and out, He signs the check and He gives you this amount. In baptism, the Father witnesses and seals unto us that He, the everlasting God, makes an eternal covenant of grace with you personally. That He who knows the end from the beginning, who has all things in His hands, He says, "And I will take care of you. I will provide for you. I will turn any adversity that comes into your life to good. I am your God." That's on that check. And He signs it, the Eternal Father. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity, when we are baptized, the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Son of God, witnesses and seals unto us that He washes us in from all our sins in His precious blood. And the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who lived upon this earth, who hung upon the cross, who died upon the cross, and who arose on the third day, He signs this check and He says, "And I promise to wash you from all your sins. And I promise that I will give you salvation. And I will give you my righteousness. I promise that. I sign it. I guarantee it." And the Holy Spirit, when we are baptized into the name of the Holy Spirit witnesses and seals unto us that He will dwell in us. And the divine Holy Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity, says to you and me, and especially to that little child, "I promise that I will make my dwelling in your heart. I will connect you to Jesus Christ, and I will apply all the many blessings Jesus earned on the cross to you. And I will abide with you, and I will prepare you for the day in which you die, and I will introduce you to your heavenly home." And that's signed by the Holy Spirit. That's a sign and a seal. Now, what do you do with a check? What do you do with a check? You take that check, you put it in your pocket. Do you forget about it? Do you forget about it? Oh no. You don't forget about a check. You take that check and you cash it. What does it mean to cash the check of baptism? What does that mean? Now this is a very, very important thing. What does it mean to cash the check that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit gave you? To cash that check means to come to the one who gave it to you. And we come to Him in prayer. And we say to Him, Lord, You have promised to be my God. Lord Jesus, You have promised to wash me from my sins. Holy Spirit, You have promised to live in my heart. I now openly accept those wonderful promises that You have signified and sealed unto me in my baptism. Do you know where I quoted that from? I quoted that from the form of profession of faith. You look in the back of our hymnals to the form for profession of faith. That's exactly what it says. I now openly accept the covenant promises God signified and sealed unto me in my baptism. Profession of faith is the official cashing of that check. I say official. Because your baptism was official. Your baptism took place in the church. Your baptism took place in public. And your cashing of the check has to take place in public too. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, that's in public. I will confess you before my Father in heaven. That's cashing the check. Now, what has to happen in between the time the child receives the check and cashes it? What has to happen? Well, the parents have to instruct that child in the truth of God. That child doesn't remember when they received that check. They didn't even know it was a check. Parents have to instruct them. The father and the mother. They have to teach them and train them. And there's those two words are used in the scriptures. Teach your children and train your children. There's a distinction between teaching and training. They're similar, very similar, but there is distinction. Teaching is to inform. They've got to be informed as to what the Bible teaches. They've got to be informed as to the content of Christ's life and what He did and all of that. And catechism is a very important thing. And we've got catechism books on the consistory table right now getting ready for our catechism season. That catechism is terribly important. And the catechism informs the children. And teaches them all these things which are in the scriptures and which they have to know. That's teaching. But training is enforcing the teaching. It's applying the teaching. It is making sure that the child not only knows it, but lives it. That training is so important, and it's got to be a consistent training. And here's where the single parents, they have a huge challenge because they don't have a husband with them. It takes two, father and mother. And we as a church have to be very supportive of single parents. They've got a huge job. Parents do too. And we as a church, as a body of believers, as a community of faith, we have to uphold them and help them and do everything we can to assist them in the training of their children. And you know the training between the check and the cashing of it. How many years is that? Well, years of discernment, huh? The years of when they come to years of discernment, when is that? Probably a little different for everyone. And maybe someone says, I have never made public profession of my faith. You know what? It's never too late. It's never too late. Never too late. Shall I tell you something about that check? It will never bounce. Do you know what a bounce check means? It's returned within because there's insufficient funds behind it. The check of baptism from the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit will never bounce. There will never be, never, never be a time when God will say, I'm sorry, it's too late. No, 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 no. The story of the thief on the cross is a story for every one of us to know that the Lord is patient and willing to forgive any who call upon Him. That's exactly what the Bible says. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. It included that robber on the cross who did it at the, you could say, the 11th hour of his life. And he said, Jesus, remember me. And he received the full payment of the check that was promised to him when he was circumcised. Because he was a Jew, not a Greek. They didn't crucify Greeks. It's always good. However, if a person dies before having cashed that check, that is, before having claimed the promise of God, they die before they do that. They go before God with an uncashed check. That uncashed check will witness against them because they knew the way and refused to walk it. They received a check of the Lord and refused to cash it. And Jesus says serious things about that. They who know the way and didn't walk it, didn't claim it, didn't confess me, will be beaten with many stripes because they knew and didn't do it. Now, I want to say this, that a person can come before the Lord in the quietness of his own home, in his own bedroom, and he can cash that check. The Lord says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's it. What a wonderful thing baptism is. It's a guarantee. It's a sign and a seal from Almighty God. And do you know, we cash that check. What do you do with the money? Well, that money, spiritual, is going to provide for you all your life. It's going to form the strength for your marriage. It's going to provide the joy in your life. It's going to provide you peace and strength and power. It's going to provide you with everything you need. It gives you access to Him in prayer. And He says to every one of you, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. That's living out of that check. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep and guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That's cashing that check. That's living out of it. And then Paul adds, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That all comes from that check. And then he says, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We cash that check and we begin to draw out of the riches which we have in Jesus Christ. Riches for this life and for all eternity. We live every single day of our lives out of the riches that He gives us in that check. That's why Martin Luther, in some of the darkest days of the Reformation, he said, I thank God for my baptism. That's where God made His commitment to us. And by faith we receive it and live out of it all our life. And when the hour of death comes, we can say with Psalm 17, when I in righteousness at last thy glorious face shall see, and all this weary night is past, and I awake with thee to view the glories that abide, then will I be satisfied. All of that is promised to us in baptism. And we receive it by faith in Him. And everyone said, Amen. Lord, bless this word unto our hearts. How wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. How rich we are. O Lord, bless this word unto our hearts. Fill us with Thy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.